Joy to the world. Have you noticed it's being sung all over the world this time of the year? However, few are truly experiencing it. Depression, anxiety, discontent, stress orders, worry, fear, uncertainty. It's at an all-time high. And yet we're called to be joyful people. How can that be? How can we genuinely experience the joy of the Lord that the scriptures suggest we are to walk in the midst of difficult times? Joy to the world. I submit to you this morning that joy goes beyond our emotions and attaches itself to the foundation of hope. Let me repeat that. Joy goes beyond our emotions and attaches itself to the foundation of hope. Pastor Laquan sounds better than I do this morning. Let me boldly say this morning that it's God's will for you to live in joy. It's God's will for you to live in joy. Now listen, many times, many experiences that appear to take away our joy for a moment are necessary for us to experience joy for a lifetime. Many of the things that appear to take away joy for the moment are necessary so that we can experience joy for a lifetime. And that is God's plan for you. You see, but the joy bone is connected to the hope bone. And that's why I say that joy goes beyond emotions and it attaches itself to the foundation of our hope. And so if that's the case, the question that begs to be answered is, what do you hope in? Where is your hope? What's the foundation of your hope? What's it made up of? Too many times the thing we're hoping for is far too temporary. It's far too shallow. It's far too earthly. That's why when we get those things that we're hoping for, we're disappointed. Because we thought we'd be experiencing something inside, a sense of contentment. We walk away dissatisfied because maybe we get those things and it didn't measure up to our expectations. I remember, I'll never forget the interview that I saw of Sylvester Stallone many years ago. The commentator asked them a question: what was the most disappointing thing that you've experienced in your career? Without batting an eye, he said, very easy. He said, I thought when I made it, I would have peace. I would have joy. And I have learned it's only a mirage. I thought, oh, if I wish I could have a sit down with this man who's putting all of his hope in something as opposed to someone. You see, when joy is defined by a happy feeling or the completion of a wish list, a person will always be left wanting. It may include those things, but can never be the foundation of our joy. It's not bad to want things. It's not bad to strive for things. But when we put all of our emotional eggs in the getting of those things, we're going to find ourselves discontent, disappointed, and joyless. And we live in a world today where all of their emotional eggs were put in the basket of financial security, of getting things, wanting things, and when things didn't go the way they went, they had no peace. They had no joy. So what is the foundation of our joy? In what do we find our hope tied to? as people of God. We're going to look at three areas that we can find joy in this morning. And none of them are impacted by circumstances. Instead, each one of them rise above circumstances. Please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 98, looking at verses 1 through 9. Psalm 98, 1 through 9. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of a melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. How awesome our guys sound this morning. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. What we see in this chapter is a great truth as well as a great response to that truth. This chapter is very easily broken up into two sections. We have the what and the so what. The what is found in verses 1 through 3. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. It is the what. It is the essence of our greatest experience. What we see here is something to get extremely joyful over. It is to knock us right into reality of what God has given to us. We see he has done marvelous things. How many would say this morning that God has done marvelous things in your life? He has provided salvation for us. He has made known his salvation. I love that. He has provided it and he has made it known to us. He has not just made it an intellectual understanding, but it is something that is known in our knower, in the very core of our soul. He has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What we see on display in this first three verses is the greatness of God. We see the power of Almighty God, the salvation that God has provided for us. And that awareness ought to create a response in the hearts of the recipients, which is what the psalmist communicates in the rest of this chapter. The what is the great salvation that God has given to us. And that the embracing of that, the reality of that, ought to create in us a response that says, he has made known his salvation to me, therefore I will make a joyful noise to the Lord. I will break forth in a joyous song and sing praises. I will sing praises with the instruments. We see in verse 7, he says, let even God's creation sing praises to God. He says, let the sea roar and all that fills it, and the world and those who dwell it. Let the rivers clap their hands, and the hills sing for joy. Our joy is tied to our salvation. Now, if that doesn't knock your socks off. It needs to go down a little deeper. If we can't get excited about the fact that we have been saved from the wrath of Almighty God, that we've been recipients of the favor of God and the blessings of God, then those truths have not yet gone down deep enough in our hearts. Our joy is tied to our salvation. I want to be a little bit more specific and a little bit more, use a more appropriate word here. Our joy is tied to our justification. I submit to you this morning that you and I experience three salvations. You were saved, you're being saved, and there will be a day where you receive your final salvation. Your justification is when we were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I mentioned it last week. It's that judicial decree from the throne of God upon a people that were guilty and yet have embraced the atoning work of Christ for their own life, and a decree of innocence is set forth from the judge of the universe. We who have created cosmic treason are the recipients. Justification, just as if I had never sinned. Justification says that we are saved from the penalty of sin. Our second salvation is our sanctification. It is where we are saved from the power of sin. And that is a process that you and I are currently going through, aren't we? Every day, thankfully, the Holy Spirit, in his love and sensitivity and, thank God, patience, is taking that which does not look like Jesus in my life and putting his holy finger on me, saying, this has got to go because I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so the Holy Spirit is conforming me to the image of Christ so that that life that I live, Paul said in Galatians, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is the goal for Christianity. So that when people see us, what they ought to see is the life of Jesus lived out in us. And I want you to know I'm not there yet. I'm working on that, and so are you. But even more than that, he is working on that in us. And that process is called sanctification. And it is there that we are saved from the power of sin. And then our third and final salvation is our glorification, where we will be saved from the presence of sin, where all that we know of will be time, will be gone, and we will be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And so how do I find joy when I can't see anything that looks so joyful? I submit to you this morning, it has everything to do with perspective. First, we see that joy comes as a response to God's provision of justification. He took our biggest problem and he became the very solution to our problem in the person of himself. And God provided this justification for us. The angels knew it when they appeared to the shepherds in the field that night. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 reminds us that in the same region there were shepherds. They were out in the field and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I'm sure they were. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And here is the source of your great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He who came for us paid the ultimate price for our sin so that we might be justified in him. And we need to get a hold of that in our lives. Listen, nothing can take that away from you. Your circumstances cannot dictate that. Your bank account cannot change that. If you're here this morning, you have truly embraced him. You are his. And nothing will take you out of the palm of his hands. And when you're going through a storm, when it feels like nobody understands and it feels like everybody has bailed out on you, know that he who justified you holds you dear and holds you close. And that ought to create in us tremendous joy. A joy that goes beyond happiness and feelings, although those things are very well included in them. Secondly, we see that joy comes as a response to God's provision of sanctification. We're joyful over our first salvation. We're joyful over justification. Secondly, we're joyful over our second salvation. We're joyful over sanctification. Listen to the brother of James, brother of Jesus, as we consider James. Ironically, our team read it this morning. James chapter 1. In verse 1, greetings, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I've said this in the past. Sometimes there's nothing more frustrating when we're going through a storm and somebody says, count it all joy. And you're thinking, man, you don't understand. Well, here's what James is doing here. James is writing to the church, and he tells them, count it all joy. But something very interesting that we would really miss. It says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. If you're reading the King James or the New King James, it'll say, to the churches that are scattered abroad. How many have that in their Bible? What that's referring to is the persecution that had come on the church. The church at this time was under a king by the name of Nero. Nero was downright demon-possessed. He had one mission in life, and it was to destroy the church. And he brought creative and unique ways to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. History tells us that Nero would take Christians and tie them to stakes in his gardens and light them up at night so their gardens can be lit up. He was a diabolical leader. He would take Christians and wrap them in leather and throw them in the water and then pull them out. And as that leather would constrict, they would get squeezed to death. He was on a mission to destroy the church. And so the church did what it knew, what all it could do is it scattered. The hammer of persecution had come on the church like a hammer on a piece of glass, and it scattered all over the place. Now, in the wisdom of God, what they took with them when they scattered was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with them went the gospel and the spreading of the gospel. But the hammer of persecution had come upon the church, and now James is writing to the church that has been scattered abroad. Widows and orphans and people who have been whose lives had been turned upside down under the leadership of this demon-possessed Nero. And it is to that audience that James writes Count it all joy, brothers. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect or mature, incomplete, lacking in nothing. We see joy comes as a response to God's sanctification. I have seen so many of God's people, some of which are sitting here this morning, that have been through the fire, who have been through horrific times and currently are. And yet there's a joy in the midst of it. I appreciate it. I'm not going to embarrass him, but my brother George Gambino sent me an email this week. And as he is on his way to health in the name of Jesus, as he's been starting chemo, and he said to me, I've got my Bibles, and I'm ready to go. God must want me in the hospital to hand out Bibles. That's what he did last time. He's an evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that in a person? What is it that gives that person the ability to rise above their circumstances, to look beyond the doctor's report? There's a joy. There's a knowing in your knower that God is in control. Do you realize, child of God, that nothing can happen to you without the divine amen of God? Do you understand that nothing gets introduced into your life without God saying, yes, I will use that as a tool for their good and for my glory? What is that called? That's sanctification. The Holy Spirit there's a lot of tools in God's belt. And God will even use the tool of trials to refine us. And so what ought to be our response when we're going through those things? I don't walk around like you've been sucking on lemons all day. It's okay to say, this stinks, this is not fun, I choose to be out of this. That's all right. But don't park there. Look beyond it, knowing that God is at work in you. And what might be your situation today, while the darkness may endure, weeping may endure, but joy comes in the morning, the scripture says. Don't park there. Allow what's going on in you to be screaming far louder than what's going on around you. And when we can do that, we can walk in the joy that God desires for us to walk in. We see joy comes as a response to God's justification. We see joy comes as a response to God's sanctification. And then we see that joy comes as a response to God's provision of glorification. Glorification is God saving us from the presence of sin. Consider with me for a moment what that will be like. All we have ever experienced has been tainted by sin. We see it in nature. We see it in other people. We see it in ourselves. But there's coming a day where we will step out of time and into eternity, where we will see him who is altogether lovely, who has justified us, he who has sanctified us, and he who will grant us our final salvation, our glorification, and with him forever we will be. Our minds cannot wrap itself around this word forever. But you and I were created for eternity. You and I were created to have no end. And if you're here this morning and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, then listen, you're already beginning. You're in your eternity. Amen. All death will be to you is the crossing over of time into eternity, where we will be forever with the lover of our souls. The Apostle John wrote about this, and as he was on exile in the island of Patmos in Revelation chapter 21. It was one of my favorite passages to read. John chapter 21 and verse 1, John is given a vision of the Lord, of what is to come. He says in verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death there, nor shall there be any mourning there, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" What a beautiful picture we have of what it will be like, a place where there is no more pain, where there is no more suffering, there is no more crying, there is no more mourning, there is no more sickness. And forgive me for being redundant if you've heard me say this before, but I cannot read this passage without pointing out something that just so impacts my heart when I think about it. He also says there will be no more tears. And he says, "For God himself, look, will wipe away every tear," verse 4, "he will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Many of you know I've got 4 children. There's a lot of crying that goes on in the home at times. Play turns into roughhouse. Roughhouse turns into aggression. Yes, it happens at my house too. And things will get a little crazy. I'll hear a smack, a cry, and Gabriel comes running inside, tears streaming down his face. And I'll take my little boy, and I'll pick him up, and I'll put him on my knee, and I'll wipe the tears from his eyes. Give him a swat on the butt, send him back downstairs. 20 minutes later, play turns into roughhouse, roughhouse into aggression, aggression into a smack. The little guy comes back upstairs, and daddy once again has to wipe the tears from his eyes. But what John says is that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. You see, no matter how often I wipe the tears from my son's eyes, there will always be more tears to shed. But what John says is that when we are with him, when we are experiencing glorification, he says that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes in such a way there will not be another tear to be shed. That is what is waiting for us. That is what is right around the corner in light of eternity. What does it mean to walk in the joy of the Lord? It's to live out our lives looking through the lens of eternity, realizing that whatever temporary setbacks we may be going through, they are just that. They're temporary. And I don't mean to make light of your hard time. I don't mean to make it small and sound insensitive to it. But if I can rise and raise your attention beyond your circumstances to the one who holds you and the one who loves you, know that he has saved you. He is saving you. And there will be a day where you cross over time and into eternity, and he will sit you on his knee, and he will wipe every tear from your eyes. So what does this have to all do with Christmas? You see, all of this hope, all of this peace, all of this love, and all of this joy is directly connected to the arrival of a baby who was no ordinary child. He was the one that was promised in Genesis and pointed to all throughout the Old Testament. Until that glorious day when the angel appeared to a godly young lady by the name of Mary, who would carry the one who would justify us, sanctify us, and ultimately glorify us. If our circumstances rob us of our joy, we're putting too much priority on our circumstances. I know that could be hard to hear. If our circumstances rob us of our joy, we're putting too much priority on our circumstances. Because your circumstances will change. Your God will walk you through. You will get to the other side. And base all of your hope on the one who holds you close and loves you more than anyone else. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, we as your people can have a joy that surpasses anything that makes sense. A joy that is so far greater than our circumstances. I pray, Father, for each and every one here this morning, for those who may be sick, for those who are in marriages that are hurting. Father, for those who are devastated by the economy, for those who are looking for jobs, for those who are worried about their kids, Lord, very real stuff. I pray for them this morning that God, even in the midst of that, that they would see the hand of God walking them through. And that, Lord, that they'd experience the joy of the Lord in the midst of the circumstances. That we would count it all joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.